Hey, everybody. Thanks for being here. I've got a really, really special treat for you guys today. I've got the most awesome Scott Colby, the creator of my first six-pack, on the phone with me today, and can't wait to tap into his vast knowledge base of fitness information and share that with you guys. I met Scott several years ago on my own journey to finding my own six-pack and wound up being a faithful follower of his for some time, and then just got sort of busy with my own blog and getting things set up on my own end and just sort of lost touch. And we recently just reconnected on Facebook, and I realized I had completely dropped the ball in not sharing his awesome information with you guys sooner than this. So my apologies in advance for that, but I'm hoping to make up for that today. So welcome, Scott. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Jackie. You're welcome. Thanks for asking me to be on the line and share some information with your listeners and readers. I really appreciate it and can't wait to get started.
Yeah, excellent. So to start off then, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how you got started and what you do.
Yeah, no problem. So I have a background education-wise in biomechanics and kinesiology. I went to school for that. I've done a lot of research in movement science and kinesiology. And I've always actually, Jackie, been interested in athletics and well and played sports growing up and things like that. And when I was growing up and actually going to college and also my first couple jobs out of graduate school, I actually didn't really work out on a consistent basis. And it wasn't really till I, one of the reasons I didn't was actually I thought it was inconvenient, which I know a lot of people feel that it is, and we'll touch on that later on. But it wasn't really, I never really made it a habit. And part of it was because I didn't really like driving to the gym and things like that. But, knowing that exercising and eating properly is good for you down the road, I made some really good changes along the way in the past few years. But what I did do is I've studied, back to my education and my research, I studied movement science. And when I was doing that, I love research. I love helping people. But it was just a little bit too slow for me, so I wanted to transition into the fitness industry. And so taking my knowledge of the human body and the way it moves and things like that, and doing a lot of research online and studying from, other experts that I know you follow too as well, Jackie. I've learned a lot throughout the years and have been able to put together my own fitness programs, not for myself, but for my clients. I started doing some one-on-one training, and now actually instead of doing that, I run boot camps. So we work out in a large group, and then I also help some people online. And I know we'll discuss my style of training and eating and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to sharing more of that with you.
Yeah, for sure. And that the whole not wanting to drive to the gym and stuff like that, kind of really one of the things that attracted me to you in the first place was that I do just in-home training now. That's my specialty. That's how I work out. That's how I train my clients. And because I'm the same way, I don't. This whole driving to the gym thing makes me crazy. So, but anyway, never enough about me. This is all about you. I wanted to sort of start from the beginning here. So let's start from the beginning for anybody who is starting from the beginning. What would your best advice be for someone who's just flat out just getting started, hasn't picked up a dumbbell in their life but really just wants to start getting on with it?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jackie. Somebody who's just getting started, I actually wouldn't recommend working out today. If you're listening to this interview, I would just recommend that you maybe take out a sheet of paper and a pen, or you can do it right there on your computer, and really just try to figure out what is it that you want. So not a whole lot of people do this. It's so easy to find a program online that you want to follow and just kind of jump right into it, and I applaud anybody's enthusiasm for doing that. But I think the reason why a lot of people fail is because they do kind of jump into it without really knowing what they're getting into and without really figuring out first what is it that they want and then, more importantly, why they want it. So, because, there's so many people that want to lose weight, so many people that want to get six-pack abs, and if it was as easy as just saying, hey, that's what I want, we'd all be doing it, but in fact, it's not. You really have to have a compelling reason to undergo whatever it is that you want, let's say, to get six-pack abs. You really have to have some sort of compelling emotional reason, because there's going to be so many obstacles that pop up, whether it's things that prevent you from exercising or things that prevent you from eating healthy as you, you know, go along in your journey, that if you don't have a real reason as far as why you want to get six-pack abs, let's say, or why you want to lose 20 pounds, it's so easy to slide off track and then not, you know, start over again for a while until, you know, until that next program comes out. So I would really recommend that somebody just sit down, take a piece of paper out, figure it out, and write it down exactly what you want, and then write down a compelling reason, something that's real emotional to you. It's going to be different for everybody, so it's not going to be something that I can tell you exactly what it is. But, you know, just write that down, and then look at what you've written down, and then, you know, kind of read that out loud. And make sure you revisit what you write down. I would suggest, you know, keeping a journal for the first few days, even after you start exercising, to, you know, kind of monitor your progress. But just kind of look at that reason every day, especially when times get tough. And so here's just an example. I mean, some people, they have, you know, this is just an example I use quite a bit. Doesn't really relate to me, but suppose you have small children, but heart disease runs in your family, and maybe a parent died of a heart attack or something like that at an early age. Well, then maybe your motivation is that, hey, you want to be there for your kids when they go off to college, when they get married, when they have kids of their own. So that's going to get you moving to, you know, exercise and eat healthy. So you want to write all that down. Write, you know, even be, you know, as descriptive as imagining what it's going to be like when your kids, like on their wedding day, write that down. And knowing that you want to be there and be a good parent for your kid, and you want to be a healthy parent as they grow up and finish college and get married and they become adults. So, and you want to be a good role model. So that's just an example. For me, it doesn't apply because I don't have kids. But that's just an example that a lot of people use, you know, family, you know, something that's of value to them as to why they're going to keep going on their exercise and eating program when times get tough. So that's what I would do at the very beginning for somebody who's just getting started. And then kind of, you know, you can assess where you're at now. You can assess, like, you know, how long has it been since you've last exercised, maybe even take some measurements. Or what we recommend in our programs is to actually take a picture. That's what I find has really kept me going, and a lot of my clients that I work with, is actually take a before picture and print it out. You know, if it's on a digital camera, print it out, or put it on your computer, or somewhere, put it on your refrigerator. You have something to look at each and every day, and you have something to shoot for as you make good physical changes in your body. So those are just a couple of things I would do at the very beginning, Jackie.
Yeah, and that's what I did, too. I showed this to my blog visitors a million times, but, well, maybe not a million, but I've got a vision wall up of a lot of ladies. They don't, their heads are cut off, but their abs are showing, and that was my focus when I decided to, I wanted to find six-pack abs on me for the first time in my life. I cut out every picture I could find of women with awesome, awesome abs, and it's plastered all over this very prominent wall in my dining space, which also doubles as my office space, and I just live in a small apartment, so it's pretty hard to get away from that vision. It's always there, and I've got another couple of ladies in the kitchen. One of them's on my fridge. One of them's on my cupboards. So, you know, keeping an eye on my goal, and now that I'm at my goal, keeping an eye on keeping my abs is the reason that it stays there. So it's a really, really helpful tool and a great tip, Scott. Thanks for that.
Yeah, and I like taking pictures because it's one thing to look in the mirror and you can see yourself every day, but it's really hard to, you know, like you can see yourself every day, so sometimes you're making some changes and you can't really tell. But if you take a picture at the beginning and then take another picture, you know, you could do it every week or you could do it a month later and just put those pictures side by side. You'll be able to notice, hey, look, I've lost inches in my waist, or, you know, I don't
almost like watching yourself get in shape in the mirror is kind of like watching your own hair grow.
Exactly.
You know, every single day the change happens, but it's so small that you don't really see. It's like watching your own, you know, yourself grow from grade 1 to grade 12. You don't see it in yourself. It just happens. You know, so, yeah, pictures for sure. And I do that for all of my clients as well. The first day I meet them and see them, first thing we do is we take pictures because in 6 months, you wait, baby. I like to make a little flip chart thing, watch them shrink.
Yeah, that's good. No, that's good, and it's very powerful, too, and I'm sure they love, you know, seeing the results there.
Okay, so for people who are just starting out, though, they've got all this stuff in place, but what do they actually physically do with exercise? Like, what kind of exercising should they be doing if they're looking to, say, lose the fat? Because that's the first step in getting our abs to show, right, is getting the fat off.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, unfortunately, most people who do work out, and if they're new to it, they start exercising without a plan.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, and you've probably seen it, you know, back when I did go to the gym, you would go like on January 1st, which was probably one of the busiest days of the year, and most people are aware they're on the cardio machines because that's easy. You're like, okay, I'm going to get on the treadmill today. And that'll be the start of my new program because, one, you know, you're walking on the treadmill, so it's something you're familiar with, walking. And number two, you might be intimidated by machines. And a lot of people don't really know how to put together a good weight training program. So I think that's another reason people fail is because even when they do go to the gym or they do work out, they're doing the wrong types of exercises. So you probably
have hazard as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So you probably want to, you know, think about, you know, buying a program to follow. You want to have something that you can follow, something that somebody's put together that they've, you know, done a lot of research and a lot of the hard work for you that you can just follow along or even hire a trainer. But the types of workouts you should be doing, and I know we're going to talk a lot about this, Jackie, is you've got to be doing some sort of weight training and some sort of high-intensity cardio training.
Yep.
And if you can blend the two, I've found some research that shows in other words, you're doing weight training mixed in with some high-intensity cardio, you're going to get the quickest results possible, fat-burning results. And so that's what I like to do with myself and my clients is I'll combine weight training moves. And, you know, I also enjoy doing movements where you don't have to go to the gym. So just think about movements like squats and push-ups and lunges and pull-ups, full-body movements that are going to work a lot of muscles at the same time. It's going to get your heart rate up because they are working a lot of muscles, but it's also working on building strength. So you're going to actually be burning fat and building some nice lean muscle at the same time. So, again, it's really you should probably follow a program. So because a lot of, you know, qualified people have put together some amazing programs. But just in general, those are the type of exercise that you should be doing first and foremost, not this low-intensity, long-distance cardio. That's not really going to burn a whole lot of fat for you.
But now someone who's just starting out, the full body moves are a bit more complicated than just your basic bicep curl. So how does someone make sure they're doing those right and, you know, doing the right things and knows what, start buying a program to follow is one thing, but actually knowing how to get the moves right is pretty important because if you're really, really new at this and you don't have a whole lot of, mind-body connection,
sure.
How do you make sure you're getting all that stuff right?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's one of the reasons I like to start off and, you know, not even just start off, but many of my programs are just body weight. There's a lot, the problem with a lot of folks that use machines in the gym, they're more the one size fits all. So if you're a 400 pound guy and a 100 pound girl, you know, you could theoretically be using the same chest press machine in the gym, but it's not really made for both types of people. So you're going to get a lot of biomechanically incorrect positions and movements when you use machines at a gym. That's why I'm a big fan of body weight movements. movements, or even movements where you're using dumbbells and things like that. But to make sure you're doing the movement right, you definitely want to have some, like, you know, a picture or a video to follow, because yes, you can injure yourself if you're doing an exercise incorrectly. But just to know that when you're doing bodyweight movements, there are so many ways to angle your body and position it that aren't incorrect. They just make the exercise easier or more difficult, that your risk of injuring yourself in a bodyweight movement is a lot less than if you're lifting, you know, a dumbbell even, or going and using a machine.
Right.
So I would suggest that you start to find some videos that somebody is qualified has put together and follow along. So you want to master the movements first before you actually get into a real, you know, hardcore intense program.
Right. Okay, so everything that you said so far kind of led me up to, I was going to ask this question, but now I think the answer might be clear. People who are already in an exercise program and are already sort of on this path are not just rank beginners. You know, I was going to ask you what can they do to sort of beat plateaus, but I think that in your last answer, you've sort of made clear that getting into some more full body compound moves and just getting off the long, you know, long, slow, boring cardio and trying to get more strength going, that can also help them. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of also goes back to when I said there's so many ways to angle your body. So let's just take the push-up, just because I've used that as an example. Most people are familiar with what a push-up is. Just vary in general. If you're brand new to exercise and you don't have a lot of upper body strength, you might be doing a push-up in a standing position against a wall. And then you might build enough strength where you can do a push-up, a more traditional push-up on the ground with your knees on the ground. And then as you build more strength, you can take your knees off the ground, and now you're using a lot more upper body strength. And then you can work on putting your hands in different positions, like putting them close together. That'll focus on different muscles that make the movement more difficult, and so forth. You can work on putting your feet on a bench and your hands on the ground. That'll make the push-up even more challenging. So as you advance and get stronger, I actually made a couple videos on YouTube, and I presented them in a presentation recently, Jackie. It was 50 different styles of push-ups, and it was just my way of showing you, you know, because a lot of people think, oh, body weight exercise, there's not enough variety. You know,
right.
What can you do? Squats and push-ups and pull-ups, and, you know, most people think of those movements, and they don't think of how they can change them up, but there's really so many different ways you can move, you know, change these exercises. You can change the tempo so you can go slower in your movement. You can, you know, go close to the ground in a push-up and hold it there and then explode up. Other things you can do, you can combine your push-ups. So you can do a set of push-ups, get up quickly, do a set of jump ropes, go in a set of squats, go in a set of step jumps, kind of start to put together these intense full-body circuits together. And then what I tell people who go through, like, my first six-pack program, which is a 16-week program, you can actually do the full 16 weeks, and then what do? Well, how about strapping on a weighted vest
and
go through the entire 16 weeks again, but now you're wearing a weighted vest, that's going to challenge you even more. So there's no end to, you know, and I'm glad you're a fan of in-home workouts, Jackie, because I am too, and there's no shortage of stuff that you can do at home or outside in your front yard.
I don't even live in a place with a yard. I'm in a high rise, and my living room is maybe 6 feet by 6 feet maximum with furniture, and I can still totally rip it out in my living room. So moving on a little bit, I just want to touch quickly. I just want to make sure we cover sort of all the wide range of listeners that I do have. What about more mature people? And let's just say, for the sake of conversation, people who are over 50. Is it harder for them to get in shape when they've been away? You know, if they've kind of got life got in the way and kids, and now the kids are off to college and stuff, more time to do this and that kind of thing. although time, quite frankly, is never an excuse in my book. But let's just say, you know, someone over 50 wants to start get back in shape. Is it harder? Like, is it a bigger struggle considering, you know, age and maybe having been out of shape for a little bit longer period of time through their life?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the only reason it might be a little bit more difficult, and I don't think it's because of their age. I think the longer you probably haven't been doing some of these movements, the more difficult it is to get started. But I don't think that's the age thing. I think that's more of a, you know, how long has it been since you've been into a full exercise program. My philosophy, Jackie, is that men and women, young and old, thin and overweight, your bodies were designed to, you know, to do the same movement, such as, you know, pushing and pulling, you know, sitting down, standing up, stepping up, sprinting after something, bending over and picking up something, rotating, climbing, crawling, things like that. Everybody was made to do that. That's kind of comes from my background of human movement. So I have no problem getting somebody who is, you know, 50 or older into a program where they're doing the same style of movements and same style of workouts as the younger folk. Now, they may have a little bit of, you know, decreased strength at the beginning, so they may need to do the beginner version of certain movements. Like I said, there's usually some regressions and progressions, you know, easier and more advanced of a particular movement. So they may take longer to learn a movement and have to stay at a beginner level for a little bit longer. But I train everybody pretty much the same way, men and women, old and young, just because I believe the body was designed to move the same way for everybody. And I believe I know how to get them, you know, in the best shape possible as quickly as possible based on my style of training. So even for those who are listening who, you know, 50, 60 years old, it's never too late. I want you to get started as soon as possible, and you can do some of these body weight movements immediately. And, again, it doesn't require going to the gym or buying any special equipment. You can try them out. I would just work on mastering the movements first and then putting them together in a program.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, great. That's awesome. Now, I mean, it's all about the old my first six-pack thing. So let's talk a little bit about the actual six-pack and the abdominal area. And for people in general trying to get, you know, ripped abs by doing a bunch of crunches and that kind of thing, do you want to talk a little bit about working out specific areas to try and lean up specific areas?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, one question that you probably get, Jackie, and I've gotten a lot over the years is, you know, well, two questions. One, you know, what is the best abs exercise to do to get a flat stomach? And two, you might also get the question, can I spot reduce, really? How do I just do, you know, a certain thing to lose stomach fat?
Yeah.
So for me, let me just share my philosophies. Number one, your abs were designed to stabilize your body, not flex. So stabilize your spine, not flex it. So that's one of the reasons I don't prescribe crunches. It's because your abs aren't mechanically designed to do that in everyday living. They're more designed to stabilize the spine and protect it. So that's one reason we don't do crunches in any of my workouts. Number two, you could do crunches, you know, 1,000 a day, and that's not going to shrink your stomach. That's not going to help you lose fat in the stomach area. And so that's another reason why we don't prescribe crunches in any of my programs. What we do, we like to use the abdominal area the way it's meant to move, or the way it's meant to function, and that is as a stabilizer. So all these movements that I've been talking about, like push-ups, where you're in a push-up position, your abs are having to work real hard. A push-up doesn't feel like an abdominal exercise because you're not going to get that burning feeling that you might if you did crunches. But believe me, you're working your abs awfully hard holding your body up in a push-up position. Same thing for other, you know, all these other types of movements, squats, mountain climbers, sprints, things like that. Your abs are really working hard during those movements. The reason those movements are so effective as well is like kind of like what I said towards the beginning. They also are going to get your heart rate up nice and high if you do it intensely enough, maybe into your anaerobic zone, which means you're going to be burning a lot of fat calories after your workout is done. And that's your goal. Your goal really is to raise your metabolism as high as possible throughout the day. And one of the best ways to do that is to work out in an intense manner and also do weight training. That's why we focus, and so crunches don't really fall under either of those. It's not a weight training movement.
Right.
It's not an intense movement. So we eliminate crunches altogether. Crunches, think of that more of an isolation movement like bicep curl. Bicep curl is a fine exercise to build your biceps, but most people I found want quick workouts to get quick results. And so if you're doing movements where you're just working on one muscle at a time, like crunches, like leg extensions, like bicep curls, you're going to be at the gym all day long, and most people don't have time for that. So we like to do compound movements, meaning movements where we're working more than one muscle group at a time, movements that mimic some of your everyday living movements, like squats mimic, you know, standing up and down from a chair, and then movements that are going to use your abdominals in a manner where it's stabilizing your spine. So that's why we don't really have to use any crunches in our program, and we still get great results. So it's really my program called My First Six Pack, but it's really a program that's going to develop your entire body through these total body workouts.
Right. I know from my own experience, the very first time I'd been working out for a while, but I had no place to do pull-ups. So I was actually at my brother's place one day, and he's got some monkey bars for the kids. And I thought, I wonder if I can do a pull-up. And I went out there, and I could do a pull-up, sure. I was surprised that I could because I hadn't been training for it. But the thing that I noticed the most was how much my core engaged. I'm hanging there from my arms and my shoulders and my back are working, but I could not believe just how much a pressure I could feel in my abdominal area from doing a pull-up. And, you know, complete full-body exercise completely blew my mind the first time. You know, and now it's part of my regular repertoire because it blew my mind so much. I'm like, I'm going to do these every day now. So I've got a pull-up bar installed in my bedroom door, and every time I walk through that door, I go through it the hard way now by doing a pull-up. So, this whole full-body compound moves for abs is awesome. I completely adhere to that theory, completely.
Yeah, and sprinting as well. I mean, when I haven't done, full-out sprints in a while, and I go out to a track and do those, I mean, you don't really think, I'm not using my abs. You are. I mean, you're using your abs quite a bit during full-out running. And I always feel sore the next day after I run sprints. And the other thing I want to add, Jackie, I get a lot of people, and you might as well, people say, well, what is the best exercise for my lower abs or my my spare tire, you know, my side abs? And to me, I really don't conform to that either because I don't really understand why people, for your abs, it's so different. You always get these crazy questions. People like to segment the abs into different areas of your stomach. And for my money, your abdominals, again, they're working together as a unit. So you shouldn't try to isolate them. You shouldn't try to isolate one section of your abs when you're working out. I always try to relate to how your body works in everyday life. And so there's not a time in everyday life where you're trying to isolate your lower abs or your side abs. So why should you do it when you exercise?
And do you think that question is actually born from their desire to get the fat off that area, not so much as to build the muscle up on that area, but just to get the fat off so they can see the muscle, which doesn't have as much to do with exercise as it does with, there's definitely an exercise component to getting fat off, but there's the nutrition situation as well, right?
Yeah, I think you may be right because, you know, the quadriceps, the front of your thigh, that's made up of four muscles, but you never hear somebody asking, how do I develop just one muscle, you know, one quad muscle out of the four? So it's probably something like somebody has extra fat on the side of their abs and they want to know, how to, you know, what's the best exercise to get rid of it. But then that goes back to the you can't really spot reduce. So
right.
to me, there's not really one exercise that's best for your side obliques or your lower abs. It takes a concentrated effort on your diet, your intense workouts, and your weight training.
Right, right. So do you want to elaborate a little bit on this whole you can't spot reduce? I mean, because I think this is a rampant misconception still, even to this day, that people can spot reduce certain areas. I still got friends who want to work out their underneath their arms to get rid of the bat wing. Well,
right.
it's not about the fat under your arm. It's about the fat on your whole body. So do you want to elaborate
sure.
on that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, like I was saying before, I mean, the easy way to show somebody you can't spot reduce is to tell them, all right, well, if you think you can spot reduce, do 1,000 crunches a night for a month and don't change your diet at all and then see what happens. And I guarantee they're not going to get any results in their abs.
They're going to have a fat, they're going to have some better muscularity, but they're not going to be able to see it.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to maybe have some better abdominal muscular endurance because they've been doing high rep training for their abs, but they're not going to be, probably not going to be getting too much stronger in their abs. They may be, but bottom line, what they are looking for is to get rid of stomach fat, and you're not going to see any decrease in your stomach fat. So we haven't talked too much about it yet, but diet's going to play a huge role in getting rid of your stomach fat and getting the look that you want all over, but particularly stomach fat is one of the most difficult areas for people to get rid of their fat and define exactly the way they want. So, and I know this interview is focused a lot about the stomach, so your diet's going to play a huge role in getting rid of your fat. So if you do these workouts that Jackie and I are suggesting to you, but you're eating maybe the way you're currently eating, if it's not that good, or if you're eating a lot of junk food and sugar and things like that, it doesn't matter how hard you work out. You might notice some great differences in other parts of your body, but most likely you're not going to see differences in your abs the way you want them if your diet is not in line. I know we'll talk more about that, but I just wanted to emphasize at least at the beginning here that diet is extremely important in getting rid of stomach fat.
For sure. I mean, that's one of the things I had to really get under control before I got to a point where I was like, yeah, they're kind of there, but they're not, you know, what I'm not really, what can I change? Okay, I got to get serious about my diet. I got to get serious. I can't just sort of make it up as I go along anymore. I've got to pay attention to what I'm doing and pay attention to what I'm putting in my mouth and really get serious. And that's when they started to really show, really, you know, in a way I wanted to see them. So in the interest of continuing along the lines of dispelling myths here, I hammer this home quite a bit, but sometimes I think it falls on deaf ears because it's just always coming from me. So I was hoping that you could help with your opinion about women and weight training and lifting heavy versus the fear of bulking up. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to let you talk.
That's a good one. Yeah, women should absolutely be doing weight training. And I'm a big believer in heavy weight training. And again, this doesn't have to mean, going to the gym and lifting a heavy barbell or even heavy dumbbells. But number one, you won't bulk up. I mean, I'm very lean. I'm not bulking myself. I've been working out for years, and look at me, and I know I'm a guy with more testosterone levels and things like that. So I don't even get bulky. If to get bulky, you're going to have to really pound some serious calories and probably some serious drugs for a woman to get real big and bulky like
right.
the bodybuilders that you may see on bodybuilding contests and stuff like on ESPN and such. By far, weight training, I believe, is the most important type of exercise that men and women can be doing. And again, weight training and heavy weight training doesn't have to be going to the gym and lifting big dumbbells. Like I've already mentioned, you can, depending on how you position your body, your exercise like push-ups can be considered heavy weight training. For me, I'm pretty good with push-ups. For me, heavy weight training with push-ups would be trying to do one-arm push-ups. That's extremely difficult for me, so that'd be a form of heavy weight training for me. But just so you know, as your body adapts and you get stronger, I'm a huge fan of changing up the workout very often, or else you're not going to see results. So once you start to get really good at one type of exercise, you need to always kind of change it around or change the tempo, change the order, change something to make it more difficult to keep challenging your body. So women out there listening, please adhere to this advice and the advice Jackie's given you. You must do weight training. If you want to get six-pack abs, or if you just want a flat stomach, or you just want to look amazing on the beach in your swimsuit, that you got to add weight training to your workout, and it can't be just easy weight training where you're picking up pink dumbbells or the lightest dumbbells and doing 30 reps of an exercise and it not being challenging for you. It must be challenging for you, and that's the only way you're going to see some amazing changes in your body. And we all know that, you know, we always, and I get guilty of this too, Jackie, we think of exercise as just something that's going to change the appearance of our body or help us lose weight. We all know the many benefits of exercise for other reasons, such as decreasing your risk of osteoporosis, decreasing your risk of certain cancers, heart attacks, things like that. So there's so many other, we're guilty of talking about the physical appearance that's going to be changing, but you're going to live a longer and more healthy life by doing weight training, and it's not just going to be due to the weight loss.
Well, I love that you just, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say the same thing about, you know, losing stomach fat. That's nice because we want to look good. But also, when you carry excess fat in your waist, you're going to be at a very high risk for certain diseases like heart disease and heart attacks, the more weight you carry in your waist. So from a just a healthy standpoint, you really want to get rid of your fat there as well.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that you just diffed pink dumbbells, because I spend an awful lot of time dissing pink dumbbells. Because what do they weigh, like 5 pounds? And most women I know, I think their purse weighs more than that. So why do they think they're getting a workout hefting a cute little 5-pound pink dumbbell that matches their outfit? Well, so what? If it matches your outfit, it's not doing anything for you, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. And I'll bring out, you know, I teach women's boot camps, and we'll bring out some heavy dumbbells and heavy kettlebells, and the women love using them, and you can really see some quick results once you start lifting some heavy weight.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's where I got the definition in my arms and my back and my chest, you know. Heavy as I could possibly do it until I, you know, sometimes I have to swear at myself just to get that weight up. It's so heavy. But the results I get are just phenomenal, and there's no way I'll you know, take it easy on myself, because I want results, you know. So moving on to another myth, cardio, the great cardio myth. I mean, I don't know if it's a myth as much as it is a latest fad. You know, a lot of the latest things you hear is don't do cardio, when I don't think that's really what they mean when they're saying don't do cardio. You know, long, slow, boring cardio doesn't get you anywhere. It just makes you, you know, there's been so many different theories out there about what cardio can and can't do for you. I'd sure love to hear your take on the situation.
Sure, and I've heard a lot of people say don't do cardio as well, and I think, like you said, they probably mean that you're not getting a whole lot of fat loss benefits from doing long cardio workouts. You know, for example, going for a walk on a treadmill at 3 miles an hour for an hour, that's not really going to get you, you know, a lot of the results that you want as far as fat burning and getting rid of stomach fat and things like that. So for me, my opinion is do high-intensity type of cardio, and that can take on a variety of forms. That doesn't mean you have to go and buy a treadmill or even have to go get a gym membership and use a treadmill. Cardio, what in my book, just means, you know, you're getting your heart rate up. So it could be going out and doing jumping jacks or buying a jump rope.
Yeah.
And doing jump rope. It could be a lot of body weight movements to get your heart rate up. If your listeners are familiar with squat thrusts or burpees, that's a full body conditioning movement that's really going to get your heart rate up. So there's plenty of forms of cardio.
There's even certain kinds of weight training that can get your heart rate up. It's all about heart rate, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so that kind of goes back, I'm glad you mentioned that, to what I mentioned at the beginning. I've read some research, and then this is the way I train myself and my clients and my boot camp members, where combining your weight training and high-intensity cardio is going to get you the best results. So, for example, doing a push-up, you know, counting that as a weight training movement, followed by burpees, so a conditioning movement, let's say followed by pull-ups, more of a weight training movement, followed by jumping rope, more of a cardio movement. So kind of going back and forth between those two. Number one, it's a real tough workout, so you don't have to do it very long. So it's going to quicken your workout. It's going to get you strength training benefits, and it's going to get you a high-intensity cardio benefit. So your net result is going to be you're going to burn a whole lot of fat after your workout's done, if you can train in that style. So I do a lot of that type of training myself, and that's usually what I put my clients through. And, again, they like it because we can really shorten the workout down, and you can also get some really good results. I find also when I add, so I'll do workouts like that on my own, and then the days I don't do that, I usually go to a track and run sprints, so I won't do any type of real weight training. I'll just run like 100-meter or 200-meter sprints. And that's when I find I get really shredded, is when I can add these full-out sprints with my weight training slash cardio interval type workouts.
Yeah, that'll kick your butt for sure, hey?
Yeah, no doubt. But again, so I work out often, but again, my workouts really are usually 20 minutes or less. I don't like to spend a whole lot of time. Yeah. So I actually don't spend a whole lot of time because I am working so hard that 20 minutes. So I don't like to dilly-dally or linger around or take a whole lot of rest breaks. And just the one research study that I was referencing, I forgot who did it. I think the first author was Jackson. It was 2008. And they had basically studied a group of people that did traditional weight training followed by slow cardio after the weight training for about 30 minutes, which is how I used to train and how a lot of people train. So they'll do like a whole weight training session, then a whole cardio session afterwards. And they compared that with another group of people that did weight training, but in between the weight training exercise, they did some high-intensity sprints. So they combined the two versus doing one full, you know, one type of exercise and then doing cardio afterwards, and they found that the type that blended the two, the high-intensity cardio and the weight training, like I just described, they found like a 10 times reduction in body fat if you can blend in your weight training and your high-intensity cardio. So that's what I do, and we've gotten some really good results with people just based on that style of training.
Well, that's cool. Okay, well, I mean, that kind of segues me into the very next thing I wanted to ask you about, and I've taken a look at it, but I'd love to hear more from you. You've got this program, My First Six Pack, which is a way for people listening in to tap into your expertise and your style and work out like this on for themselves as well. Can you tell me more about how My First Six Pack works? So I know it's not a conventional, just an e-book that people get and then just have to read through and follow. There's a whole lot more to it. So can you tell me more about that whole thing?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for asking about it. So My First Six-Pack is a 16-week program, and it's not just a training program, but it's also a coaching program. So what I've done is I've put together a 16-week program to get six-pack abs, and it includes a couple different components. Not only a workout, so you're going to get 16 weeks of workout, but it also includes video coaching from myself. So if you remember at the beginning when you asked me, what is the first thing somebody should do when they start off a program? And I said, well, you shouldn't probably jump right into a workout. You need to sit down, take out a journal or a piece of paper, and write down some of your goals and why you want them and things like that. Then I told you, you know, you should probably take a picture and things like that. So that's actually part of the coaching that we do in My First Six Pack. So each week, and you're right, it's not just, I do have a program where you can buy an ebook of mine, and I know a lot of our colleagues have that, Jackie. But the reason I put this together into a coaching program is the thing that I found a lot of people said about my original programs or other people's programs, it's too overwhelming. Like, they'll get a 12-week or 16-week program all at once, and even though it may say day one do this, day two do this, it's still overwhelming. And I can definitely relate to that because I buy business coaching programs myself, home study courses, and I get it and I get overwhelmed. Like, gosh, how do I do this? And you get all the material at once, and it's almost like it's too much to handle and you don't know where to start. So my first six-pack, we turn it into a coaching program where once you sign up, each week you get a new lesson. So the material is spoon-fed to you 1 week at a time as you need it. So it's not
right.
Something where you're getting all 16 weeks at once. So each week, anybody in the program gets a new email from me, and each email has a link to that week's lesson. And each week's lesson contains some video coaching from myself, whether it's mindset coaching, goal setting. There's a lot of nutritional coaching in the program, a lot of exercise coaching. So you get a new coaching video, you get a new workout program, and a meal plan each week.
Again,
it's coming to you one at a time. And the workouts are delivered, you know, the coaching is delivered through video and PDF, so you can read it or watch the video. Same thing with the workouts. They're delivered through a PDF document with pictures, so you can look at it, but also you can watch as we demonstrate the workouts as well. So it's a video coaching program where you're getting each lesson 1 week at a time, and people seem to really enjoy that format.
Yeah, I think that when I looked at it, I was really impressed because a lot of times when you get a program, you do tend to read through the whole thing all at once, and then by the end you're so overwhelmed that you don't know where to go. And especially with the nutrition, it's like, well, look at all these pages and pages and pages of food information. I don't know where to start, even if it seems clear when you started reading the section where to start. By the time you've gotten to the end of the section, that's lost on you because you're just full of information. And, you know, which part is the right part to start at, you know, especially if, like, well, for my level and that kind of thing. So, and that was something else I wanted to ask you about was for progression. Some people that will get into this program will be beginners, but some people will be people like myself who have been working out for a while. So how does my first six-pack work with people at different levels and then progressing those people from their different levels to the next level for them?
Yeah, definitely. Good question. First of all, it's a bodyweight-only workout program, so these are workouts, of course, you could do at home or really anywhere you want. The first four weeks of the program have workouts that are either beginner, so they have two different workouts. So if you're a beginner, you do this one. If you're more advanced, you do this one. So that's the first 4 weeks. So the workouts are, they're the same movements, but they're kind of, you're doing them at either a different work-rest interval or you're doing different number of sets. So hopefully that makes sense. So there's beginner for the first 4 weeks and advanced for the first 4 weeks. Once the fifth week starts, everybody's doing the same workout. But the way it's designed, and this is kind of how I had to think about this, because in my boot camps we have the same thing. We have people in my boot camp that have been with me for 2 years, and then people that come in one day and it's their first time. You know, what do I do? Well, a lot of the circuits starting in week five, for example, week five is what we call a 300 workout, and it's a workout where you're doing six exercises and you're doing 300 reps total, not of each exercise, but once you complete the workout, you're doing that many reps total. Well, the way it works for different, you know, levels is, number one, beginners are instructed to do less reps if needed. So instead of doing 25 reps for an exercise, they're instructed to do 10 or 15 as needed. Or, number two, the other way it's different for people is that we do the workout for time. In other words, you're instructed to do the workout as quickly as possible. A new person, it may take them 25 to 30 minutes. A more advanced person may be able to go through it real quick because they need less rest, so they may be able to bust through it in 15 minutes. So a lot of these workouts are rest as needed type of workouts, where a more advanced person takes less rest, a newer person takes more rest.
Okay.
We have other workouts that are where we have like circuits, and your goal is to get in as many rounds of the circuit as you can in 10 minutes. So again, a more advanced person would be able to crank through more rounds, and a newer person may have to back off, take more rest, and they can only get through maybe 2 rounds. So that's how we designed it, so that it accommodates all fitness levels.
Okay, great. I also noticed when I was looking through it that at a certain point within the program, you start hitting people with Tabata. And I'd love it if you'd explain to all of us what that is.
Yeah, definitely. Tabata is a type of interval training, and I first heard about it. I'm not sure why I first heard about it, but there was research behind it. There was a gentleman, Japanese researcher named Dr. Tabata, who took a group of people and exercised them in a specific interval format on a cycle ergometer. So what they were doing were he had his group of students on a cycle ergometer where they were pedaling as hard as they could for 20 seconds, and then they would rest for 10 seconds. And they would go in that fashion, work hard for 20, rest for 10, for 8 straight rounds of that. And it was a 4-minute circuit, and then that was all they did for their exercise. So it's basically you give maximal effort for 20 seconds, and then you rest for 10 seconds. Well, they found that within 6 weeks, with just 4 minutes of exercise in this fashion, your students got some great results in their fitness levels, in their aerobic capacity, and maximal oxygen. So what a lot of fitness professionals, myself included, have taken this type of interval training and have used it in other exercises. In other words, we're not telling people to go out and get a cycle ergometer, but we may be having them do other exercises, but still using this 20 seconds of work, 10 seconds of rest format, such as push-ups. We might do 20 seconds of push-ups, 10 seconds of rest, 8 straight rounds, where that's going to work less your aerobic capacity like the cycle did for the researchers, but that's going to work more on your muscular endurance. So we've put together in our program lots of Tabata circuits. So these are 4-minute circuits, so they go by real quickly,
yeah,
where you're doing certain body weight movements in this 20-second on, 10-second rest format. And the key is, each 20-second bout, you're supposed to be giving maximal effort. Back
right.
to your question on beginners, what a beginner could do if they're brand new and that's too hard for them, what they can do is they can work for 10 seconds and rest for 20. So you just switch the intervals. So if you're a beginner, you can work a little bit less and rest more as needed. But it's a great – people love this type of circuit because they only take 4 minutes and it can really – where, you know, even the most advanced athlete can get a really good workout.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, for sure. All right, well, my first six-pack is definitely something you don't need a gym membership for. You don't need to go bucking up and getting into a gym. You can do all of this stuff in and around your home. Is that right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
You can do
just confirming.
There's only a couple pieces of equipment that you need. Like a stability ball and then what we call a jungle gym, but really you could use like a long towel. That's just a way to do modified pull-ups because most people can't do a full pull-up, so we didn't want to include that in the program. So we show you how to do modified pull-ups, or some people call them body weight rows. And, this is something, I mean, I do a lot of these workouts outside at a park myself, or sometimes I just do them at home. But, yeah, there's really – supposed to be where you can do it anywhere. So that's another aspect of my program that I really wanted to make sure it was available for anybody to be able to do anywhere, even on the road, you know, in a hotel room.
Yeah, and right up my personal alley and right up the alley of anybody who's watching my blog at all, because that's sort of the theme of my blog is getting fit at home. So definitely love this program. especially for that component of it. Is there anything else about my first six-pack that I've forgotten to ask you about? What else can you tell us that I haven't thought of?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, we've gotten, it's a 16-week program. We've gotten some really good results from people, and it includes not only your kind of your weight training workouts like I've been describing, but it also has days where you're just doing interval training, more traditional interval training, like cardio interval with no weight. So that's all written out for you as well.
Okay, awesome. Well, I've taken a look at it, you guys. It's really well put together, comprehensive, well thought out, results oriented kind of program. So, I mean, I highly recommend it, and it's one of the reasons I had Scott on today in the first place was that I really wanted to get this out there to you guys. So, if you're interested in checking it out, I've got a quick link here for you. It's the quick way in. It's my usual little short link, gwnn.me. So that's G like girl, WNN like girl with no name, .ME as in me and you, / my first six pack. So my MY first FIRST 6 SIX PACK. So GWNN.ME / my first six pack is how you get in. And I'll make sure that I've got a link underneath this interview on the blog. You can just click through if you're catching this there. So, Scott, thanks so much for your time. I know you spent, holy moly, almost a whole hour with me now, and I really appreciate that, and I know that everybody listening in right now appreciates that as well. And I know you told me before we started this call that you were getting ready to move. You're moving homes.
Yeah, I'm moving up to Colorado. It's not really officially home, but I've lived there before, and it's, you know, a place where I've always wanted to move back to, so...
Wow.
I'm going to be moving closer to the mountains, which I enjoy. And again,
you're in the heat of Texas, though.
What's that?
So you're leaving the heat of Texas, though.
Yeah, I know. But I'll enjoy my outdoor workouts a lot better with the scenery of the mountains than the flat concrete and no trees here.
Yeah, we've got lots of trees and mountains here in Vancouver, too. So I can totally relate to what you're saying. So yeah. I know you must be crazy busy getting ready for your move. So I don't want to take up any more of your valuable time. But thanks again so much for being on, and hopefully we'll see you pretty soon.
Yeah, you're welcome, Jackie. Thank you for having me, and thanks to your listeners. Appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.